Well, the hills indeed are alive with the sound of music, yeah? Is this stuck in your head? You're welcome. There's actually a lot of really good songs about mountains. There's the great John Denver. You know, he sings about his mountain mama and country roads. Even Miley Cyrus. There's always going to be an uphill battle. It's the climb. Mountains are incredible and epic. Crayola calls them purple majesty, right? We use mountains as metaphor. You know, pushing a boulder uphill, the ups and downs of life. And yet physically, just on their own, they are impressive. Carved by the glaciers over centuries, some of them are still growing and full of magma and could explode at any moment. There's something about the mountains that's indescribable. Maybe some of you have been on this road trip and it's been flat, and you're riding along and then you see this little blip in a distance, and the closer you get, all you can say is, wow. Mountains are places we retreat to. We call them not trips, but adventures. We have the nearby Blue Ridge Mountains that are older and supposedly easier to climb. That depends which hike you pick. If you go out west, you face the Rocky Mountains, and it can take days or weeks to get used to the elevation. And then we have these epic places like Mount Everest. And every year, people try to make this summit, and they die because of the elevation and the weather and the frostbite. Mountains can be harsh places. And yet they're so important. Moses today finds himself on Mount Horeb. And he might have called it a retreat or an oasis, but let's be honest here, Moses was running away. Remember Moses' story with me. So under Pharaoh's rule in Egypt, every baby boy born to the Hebrew people was supposed to die because Pharaoh was worried about the Hebrew people, the enslaved people, becoming overpopulated. But Moses' mother couldn't do that, right? She puts her baby into a basket, right? And sends him down the Nile River with the crocodiles. But he survives. He is found by the Pharaoh's daughter, who adopts him and raises him as her own. And so here's this Hebrew boy growing up in the palace among the riches. And yet he knew something was off. And so as an adult, he witnesses this mistreatment of a Hebrew slave by an Egyptian. And let's say it doesn't end well. And so he runs away. He runs to the wilderness, to the mountains, and becomes a shepherd and pretends this is who I am. And then we get this story, where here he is in the mountains, and God meets him in this burning bush that talks to him, like it's burning, but not burning. And he is faced with reality. This reality he has tried to ignore for years. That people are suffering, and he must go so that God's people may be made free. Mountains are good for that. There's something about the change in perspective, something about being up that high that helps us think about life differently. The disciples too face a different perspective in our gospel story. Here they hike up a high mountain, and so James and John and Peter are trying to catch their breath when they turn around and see their rabbi, their teacher, glowing like a light bulb. He's transfigured in their midst and shimmery and divine. And then they hear the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved, listen to him." And Peter, overwhelmed by the whole thing, is like, babbling. He's like, okay, what do we do now? Well, let's stay here. This is obviously where God is. We've had a hunch you were the Messiah, and now we know that for sure. And so let's build some tents and stay here, because this is obviously where God lives. Mountains have this holiness to them, this different perspective. Up in the clouds, this bird's eye view, where you look down below and the houses and the cars look like toys. Perspective can be such an important and beautiful thing. And actually, this is what we hope to do with our strategic planning in our church. We're going to take the mountaintop view of Faith Lutheran and how we relate to one another, how we relate to our neighborhood. We're going to take some intentional time to look at the balcony view, as adaptive leadership circles call it. Because so often we are caught down on the dance floor. We're swept up in the moving parts and the snack table and the swaying music and the busyness, and we forget to step back and take a little hike up to the bigger picture, where it's easier to see what God is up to, where it's easier to remember who we are. Perspective. And yet, here is the beautiful and challenging thing about the mountains. Sometimes, as we're hiking up, we can forget, like, what we're even hiking towards, right? Like, our backpacks get heavy, and we get blisters on our shoes, and we're out of trail mix, and we can't quite find the path anymore, and we're like, what's the point? And then you get up to the top, and it's incredibly beautiful, and you say that, wow, and you take your selfie, and you have your little sacred moment. But mountains are not places where we can stay for long. They're beautiful and challenging, and yet it's windy at the top. It's pretty harsh up there. And we humans like our indoor plumbing and creature comforts. And so after all of those things, we have to come back down. And dear ones, we are in good company as we do. For in both of these stories, Jesus and the disciples go back down to the hungry crowds and grumpy temple leaders. And Jesus indeed faces the cross and rises to tell about it. Moses, remembering who he is reminded that God goes with him, and he faces his fears and confronts Pharaoh and epically leads God's people to freedom. And we too climb back down the mountains in the midst of bears and bugs and poison ivy, back to our cars and rush hour and busy lives. But hopefully from these mountaintop experiences, we are changed. Our brains and our hearts and our spirits feel a little different. For when we encounter these wild places, we are gifted a new perspective. We are reminded who we are. We have a renewed sense of purpose. And maybe even a vision of what God's way of life could look like. John Muir recognized how important the mountains were for us. I mean, he was a pastor's kid and a naturalist and, you know, a little quirky. But his love of these rocky mountain places ended up making him a champion for these things called national parks that we all enjoy. And he's often misquoted for saying, the mountains are calling, I must go, right? We've all seen the t-shirts. But the whole phrase is actually this. The mountains are calling and I must go, and I will work on while I can, studying incessantly. This is from a letter he wrote to his sister where he wrote about how being in these high mountain places reminded him of this important call to care for creation. How important it was to preserve these wild places for all people. For it was in these places that we are reminded of life that is really life. He wrote, "Thousands of tired, nerve-shaken, over-civilized people are beginning to find out that going to the mountains is going home, that wildness is a necessity, and that these mountain parks and reservations are useful not only as fountains of timber and irrigating rivers, but as fountains of life." And so, dear ones, it makes me wonder. I know we live in a swamp, and it's not easy to go climb a mountain. But what would it look like for you to set aside a little time to look at the bigger picture, to take the balcony view, to reflect on your own wildness and who God has called you to be? Side note, we actually are going on a mountain retreat in a couple weeks, and there are some spaces left. If you want to come with us, we're going to go hike in a couple weeks. So talk to me if you're inspired by this. But no matter what, dear ones, may you remember that the mountains among us indeed are incredible gifts, a reminder of the grandeur and majesty, our smallness in the midst of the wild things. That we need mountains in our lives as places of respite and reflection. And one last thing, mountains are a symbol of hope, a vision for how the world can be when we are in relationship with God and with one another. And you see this all throughout Scripture. And so I want to end today with a vision of hope that the prophet Isaiah shares for us. He said, "In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills, and all nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that we may be instructed in God's ways and walk in God's paths.' For from this place shall go instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate between the people. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore." Mountains. High places. Let us go. Amen. Thanks be to God.